ABC.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
A new driver and now a new look for Levine Family Racing. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Race fans, visit Camping World of Concord for convenient one-stop shopping on outdoor accessories, top brand RVs, and quality service. Buy an RV and enroll in the Good Sam Elite Loyalty Program, offering incentives valued at over $2,000. Browse over 10,000 Camping World products and accessories in America's largest RV dealer network. Plus, shop the top manufacturers such as Coleman, Keystone, Newmar, Thor Motor Coach, Winnebago, and many more. America's number one RV dealer has something for everyone. Visit Camping World of Concord today. See dealer for full details and disclaimers.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140 degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast, proven tough, and sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Last fall, Levine Family Racing announced that Casey Kane would move to the team to drive the number 95 car for the 2018 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series season. Today, the team unveiled a new look to the car that includes an expanded partnership with sponsor Procor, which will debut at the Daytona 500 in February. A new look and a new crew chief in Travis Mack that Kane says he's still getting to know during the offseason.
We're starting to get to know each other better now that we're working together in the future, and they seem very motivated, excited for the role, and so am I. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fun relationship working to perform.
For a look at Kane's new ride, see MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:04, welcome back in. Welcome to hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, currently on two of our three frequencies, 1600 AM, as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM has some high school basketball on tonight, and it's going to be like this much of the week. I think every single night we're dipping out on this frequency or that frequency, and the best thing I can tell you for the people out there who actually do want to hear this show is check out KGYMRadio.com and figure out the scheduling from there, because it tells you when and where the high school games are on and what frequencies. And if it's anything involving the 5 to 7 o'clock hours, then you're going to have to find alternate transportation, but that would not be accurate. An alternate way to listen to the program. Online, we stream online, KGYMRadio.com. You can vote in the poll question while you're there, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. What will Josh Jackson announce after next Wednesday's Pinstripe Bowl? That he is coming back to Iowa or that he's leaving for the NFL? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Is it still unanimous, the results?
Yes, it is unanimous.
Why everybody? Yeah, he's going to say he's leaving.
What percentage?
And everybody knows it.
Of players who are holding a postseason press conference to announce whether they will go to the NFL or return for their senior season, actually return for their senior season. Less than five.
That announce that they're holding the press conference.
Yes, or there's a big deal. There's a press conference to make the decision. I can think of a couple. Taylor Lewan comes to mind, the left tackle who was at Michigan a few years back, now with the Tennessee Titans. But he was kind of that kind of strange personality to where he kind of wanted the spotlight. Josh Jackson doesn't seem to be that guy. You just don't usually hear somebody say, well, I'm having a postseason press conference. And then when they get up on the podium, say, I'm coming back for my senior season.
No press conference necessary in Chicago earlier today, but Clayton Thorson, Northwestern, did announce that their quarterback will be returning next year. And a number of the Chicago area media said, was there really any doubt? I know the NFL is light on quarterbacks, but was there any doubt that Clayton Thorson was going to come back for his senior season? Tis the season for all of these announcements, though, and I agree. We had Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com earlier tonight. If he was coming back, he would have said so already. So I think most people out there already know the answer to this, but do most people out there know how the movie Gremlins ends? How it starts? What happens in the middle of it? This is not something that I am wild about doing. I mentioned it as a lark, and as often happens, the Hertin and Stocker text line has spoken, and just because a handful of you people think that this would be a good idea, this is... Bill Veeck, the legendary baseball owner, did this one time with the St. Louis Browns, who, believe it or not, at one point in time were actually as successful, if not more so, beloved in St. Louis than the Cardinals were. And then the Bush family bought the Cardinals and went on to great prominence, and the Browns eventually became the Baltimore Orioles. He had fans in the stands hold up giant cards that basically managed the game. They did this in a major league game. Sometimes I feel as if I throw an idea out there and then the Hertin and Stocker text line is sort of programming the show here. So I never want to tell people to not listen. That's bad in this business. So if you have not seen the 1984 feature film Gremlins, you should turn down the radio if you don't want Gremlins to be spoiled for you in the next, let's call it, 2.5 minutes. But because a small handful of people on the text line think that this is a good idea, and before we get to Brian Ferentz audio, I'm going to spoil Gremlins. So for people who have not seen the movie, this is your opportunity to turn the radio down. And for those of you that have seen the movie, an opportunity for you to relive its greatness, as it does qualify, at least in my book, as a Christmas movie. So here now, the four paragraphs from Wikipedia spoiling Gremlins for anyone who has not seen the movie. Randall Peltzer, a struggling inventor, visits a Chinatown antique store in the hope of finding a Christmas present for his son, Billy. Okay, there's the first problem. If this movie were made nowadays, it wouldn't be Chinatown, because you would upset some people and there would be some racial overtones to it. So it'd have to be generic. So if the movie's made today, he's going to the mall. Just a vanilla suburban mall. But no, in the movie, he goes to Chinatown. Very important here, because there is definitely some ugly stereotyping that occurs with the Mr. Wing character. But who's Mr. Wing? We haven't gotten to him yet. In the store, Randall encounters a small furry creature called a Mogwai, which is Cantonese for monster. I didn't know that. You learn something every day on this program. The owner, Mr. Wing, refuses to sell the creature to Randall. However, his grandson secretly sells the Mogwai to Randall, warning him to remember three important rules that must never be broken. My former co-host used to say these three things about dating women, and I thought it was misogynistic and awful. Do not expose the Mogwai to bright lights or sunlight, which will kill it. Do not let it get wet, and never feed it after midnight.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Randall returns home to Kingston Falls, where he gives the Mogwai to Billy as a pet. Billy works in the local bank. Are you following along? Billy works at the local bank where he fears his dog Barney will be captured and killed by the elderly Mrs. Deagle. This is vital, vital to the story of Gremlins here, the plot line. Randall names the Mogwai Gizmo, and Billy makes sure to treat him well. When Billy's friend Pete spills a glass of water over Gizmo, five more Mogwai spawn from his back, a more troublemaking sort led by the aggressive Stripe. Billy shows one of the Mogwai to his former science teacher, Mr. Hansen, spawning another Mogwai on whom Hansen experiments. Back at home, Stripe's gang tricks Billy into feeding them after midnight by chewing out the power cord to his bedside clock. They make cocoons, as does Hansen's Mogwai. Shortly after, the cocoons hatch and they emerge as mischievous reptilian monsters that torture Gizmo and try to murder Billy's mother while Hansen is killed by his gremlin. Happy holidays, 4-year-old Todd watching this movie. All of the gremlins are killed except Stripe, who escapes to a local YMCA and jumps into a swimming pool, spawning an army of gremlins who wreak chaos around Kingston Falls. Billy tries to warn the police, but they don't believe him. Many people are injured or outright killed by the gremlins' rampage. If I recall correctly, the movie was rated PG. Including Mrs. Deagle, who is launched out of her house on a stair lift that has been sabotaged by the creatures. At the local bar, the gremlins have fun until the barmaid, Kate Berenger, Billy's girlfriend, flashes them with a camera. It's very similar to what Phoebe Cates flashes in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They escape into the bank with Billy and Gizmo. While hiding, she reveals her father died in a chimney while dressed as Santa Claus. That moment is one of the biggest Debbie Downer moments in movie history. Billy and Kate discover the town has... That's not in the Wikipedia entry, by the way. Billy and Kate discover the town has fallen silent and the gremlins are watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarves in the local theater. They set off an explosion, killing all the gremlins
except
Stripe.
This is only rated PG?
I'll have
to... How many people have to die before it goes up to PG-13?
Hey, as long as you don't use certain words, PG. This is the 80s, remember. Billy chases Stripe into a Montgomery Ward store. Also, if this movie were made today, it would not be a Montgomery Ward store because I'm not sure any of them are still open. Where Stripe climbs into a water fountain and tries to spawn more gremlins, Gizmo arrives in a toy car and opens a skylight, exposing Stripe to sunlight and melting him. In the aftermath of the rampage, Mr. Wing arrives to collect Gizmo, scolding the Peltzers for their carelessness, thinking the Western world is not ready. The Western world is not ready, but comments that Billy might someday be ready to care for Gizmo properly. Gizmo likewise believes so, having become attached to Billy. Mr. Wing departs with Gizmo in tow. There you have it. I just spoiled Gremlins for anybody who has not seen the movie.
You've created a monster, Todd. Pun intended.
How
8532
so?
Says that we should do this every week, where you spoil another classic movie by reading its Wikipedia page.
I'm just glad that he thinks that Gremlins is a classic movie. This is more about me coming to grips with my childhood and the realization that I was 4 or 5 years old when I watched this movie where horrific events occur. The science teacher is brutally murdered by the gremlin, which he spawns.
This is like the Christmas version of Chucky, is it not?
Grab some more popcorn, boys and girls.
You watched this when you were 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. 4 or 5,
and
whenever it came out in theaters, I had a little gizmo. They made toys, you know, as every movie since the dawn of time has made. Now, that would be actually the dawn of time, not the movie. But you know, get the toy tie-in. I'm sure there was a McDonald's Happy Meal built around this movie, Gremlins. As a matter of fact, I'm almost sure there was. And everybody remembers, oh, Gizmo was cute. And he drove around in the little toy car. Nobody remembers that this was a terribly heinous movie in which multiple people died very gruesome, grisly deaths. But the little Mogwai was cute. So it's a family movie. and it takes place at Christmas. So it's a family movie and a Christmas movie altogether.
Even though the Mogwai sabotaged the grandmother's chair and killed her.
It wasn't the grandmother. It was the mean Mrs. Deagle who didn't like the dog whose name was Barney. I don't want to spoil things here because yesterday on the air, we drew names for the KGYM Christmas gift exchange, and I drew Kyle's name. I don't think I can get a Mogwai for $20, partly because they don't actually exist. They're fictional creatures, but if I gave Kyle a Mogwai, would he be able to follow the three simple rules, or would we have a similar situation on our hands as the folks did in that fictional town?
No, I think he'd be all right.
No sunlight, no feeding it after midnight, and no getting it wet. I think Kyle could pull all three of those things off and keep Cedar Rapids safe.
It's either that or we all get injured or die, so I would hope that he could pull that off. The Hatchimal doesn't have those requirements, does it?
No, and you know what? They still make those. Last year, you couldn't find them in stores. This year, I saw them. They still make them. Nobody wants them. Such is the life of... Well, look, I'm explaining this to somebody who's related to the man who created Stretch Armstrong and the Easy Bake Oven. You know the fickle world of the toy business, which, by the way, if you have not shopped yet for your little boy or girl, if you buy an Easy Bake Oven or the Stretch Armstrong, or what was the ball?
The flat ball.
It's not a Nerf ball. It's kind of the loser of the three toys. But if you buy any of those things, you are putting money directly into Alex Kuhn's inheritance.
That is not true at all.
His grandpa gets 8 cents for every Easy Bake Oven that is sold. Not true at all.
No, he sold the rights to those things a long time ago. He worked for a toy company. They have the rights to all of those.
9470 on the Hertin and Stocker text line says that the rating PG-13 was created after Steven Spielberg suggested it because of Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So there you go. You went PG to R. Yeah, there it is. Totally kid friendly. Well, that's G. And then PG was this vast wasteland in the 80s of, and it's not rated R. They don't use naughty language or have too much violence and sex.
Okay, so PG-13 wasn't even really a category at that time?
Right. And then Steven Spielberg came along and said PG-13, and then most movie theaters, including the one that I worked at, said, just put the money on the counter, kid. Cheapest babysitting service known to man. The movies. Parents would drop the kids off, and depending on the length of the movie, that's how much free time they had to either shop or go to the... But we would have people that would call the movie theater that I worked at when I was in high school, and the question wasn't what movie was playing. The question was how long the movie was. How long is the movie? Well, it's about 98 minutes.
So you're basically in the daycare business at times.
Exactly. We had a ton of teenage children for Titanic, because Titanic was a long movie. So parents were like, here you go. $10. Go watch him draw Kate Winslet.
Did you ever have to confront an underage kid who bought a ticket to a PG-13 or less movie who tried to sneak into a rated R movie?
No, but, well, because this was a one-screen movie theater. Oh. So I didn't have that issue. The worst that I ever had it was having to confront the teenagers that would go down into the bathroom and have a cigarette. And then how do you think that we're not going to smell that? And how do you know, because you have to walk through the lobby to go to the bathroom, how do you think that I'm not going to immediately know who the guilty party was? Those kids were trouble. But they paid just like everybody else, and we gladly took their money. 621. Well, step aside, take a quick break. Somebody on the text line says we should put up a poll as to which movie we should ruin next. I didn't ruin the movie. I spoiled it for the people out there who haven't seen it. I'm just trying to do the community a service here, because that you could be out and about shopping at a a store here locally looking for a last-minute gift, and you could see little cute Gizmo on the cover of Gremlins, and you could go, well, this would be a great stocking stuffer for little Billy or little Susie. I remember watching this movie when I was a kid. It's about a little furry guy who drives around in a car, and he's adorable. I'm just here to remind you that that movie is filled with gory death after death. And to keep that off of little Billy or Susie's Christmas list. Another stocking stuffer, please.
Did that toy have anything to do with the Furby? Because those two things looked almost identical.
And that was actually, I remember the first time I ever saw a Furby, I was like, I hope there's lawyers involved here for Spielberg.
Yeah, that's clear copyright infringement.
The Furby looks like Gizmo. And now somebody has made a Furby, they've crossed Furby with it, like an Alexa. Is that the Amazon or the
Amazon
Google?
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, the one where you say the name, things out loud, and the creepy listening device follows your orders while it's recording everything that goes on around the. People are saying these are going to be the new radio. By the way, people don't actually own radios, which to me is tremendously sad. But somebody took one and I want to say crossbred it, but that's not because none of them are real. These aren't animals, but they took it and they wired it to a Furby so that when you talk to it and then it answers back, the little Furby's mouth chatters.
That's incredibly creepy.
Yeah, and I feel that literally about 6 or 7 months away from a Furby wired to an Amazon Echo or whatever it is, away from replacing me as the sports talk radio host. People could just call in and ask it questions, and then it would chatter right into the microphone and tell you the answer. Who was the Alexa? Who was the last major league player to have played his professional career in the 80s? And then she would say, Darren Oliver. Why are you asking me that? 6:24, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. And then for you stick to sports folks out there, and I know you exist, we'll give you a Christmas present in the form of Brian Ferentz audio from yesterday in Iowa City. A whole lot more to come. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM until 7 o'clock.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
What is style all about? I don't know.
Maybe something about personality? Creating your own environment?
It's just a way of being. Just being you, actually.
Once you find your own way of living, I think style is automatic. This holiday season, Tissot and Jared the Galleria of Jewelry will give the gift of time by offering a premier selection of men's and women's luxurious watches. To find your Tissot timepiece, visit your local Jared the Galleria of Jewelry or shop online at jared.com.
guys, time's running out to get her the perfect gift this Christmas. Shop JCPenney now and get everything on her list for less than you think. Now through Sunday, save an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Plus, find her something she'll really love, like a diamond bracelet for $49.99 after 20% coupon, and find jewelry up to 65% off. Hurry in, JCPenney. Coupon valid 12/21 to 12/24. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Some exclusions may apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
See, this is why I love many of our listeners, and those of you who I don't love, I'm not going to name you. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But 3530, a personal favorite, I think, of everybody here at KGYM, except for maybe you, Nash, because 3530 does an imitation of him sometimes. I kid you not, I'm of the age, he's using the Hurtin and Stocker text line here. I kid you not, I'm of the age when, and this will hit home, I think, for a number of people who are similar in age to 3530 and myself. This time of the year, on the last day of school before Christmas break, they would herd the entire grades 7 through 12 into the auditorium and bring out the film projector. The holiday film when I was in 7th grade, Gremlins.
That's horrifying.
7 through 12, I mean, you're a senior, senior in high school, you can handle that.
Senior grade, though?
You're probably
okay, fine.
You're probably looking at Phoebe Cates. There is Kate Berenger in that movie, which, by the way, she worked in a bar. I don't know. There were some plot holes there that 4-year-old me wasn't quite astute enough to worry about at the time. Like why she was how much older was she than Billy? Billy worked at a bank, but you also got the impression that Billy was like sort of high school aged or not quite out of high school. I a lot going on in that movie, but Gizmo was cute and he drove around in a little toy car and it's a Christmas movie.
0856 on the text line. This might make me a terrible person, but I'm 37 and I still laugh when Miss Deagle gets launched out the window.
It's the term used to describe Gremlins is a black comedy. It's a dark film, but it's supposed to be a comedy, and that is one of the moments where she, you know, those chairlifts, they've seen them on, you know, old people sit in the chair and it goes and it takes them up the stairs.
So by sabotaging it, it just launched her out the window.
Yeah, not only were the gremlins ugly, but they were extremely intelligent and cunning and knew how to turn an elderly person's chairlift into sort of a rapid launch amusement ride. I mean, they're extremely crazy creatures. Very adept at, I mean, what would it take to make that happen in real life? For a human to do that. But these gremlins were able to do it in the movie. You admit it. You want a Mogwai now.
I just want to go home and watch the movie.
He goes to Chinatown and it just, yeah. Why did it have to be Chinatown? Well, because it was 1984 and no one cared. No one looked at that in 1984 and said, we're towing a line here. Nowadays, if that movie gets made, that pitch,
that never
you
happens.
Couldn't pitch that movie nowadays.
No.
And I saw it's an old special. It was on MLB Network the other night, but they were celebrating the 25th anniversary of Field of Dreams, and Kevin Costner says, Field of Dreams wouldn't get made nowadays because you would go and you would pitch it to somebody and they would go, no. A guy hears voices and, oh no, I'm spoiling Field of Dreams for people. I'm not.
Oh, is that the next movie that we're going to spoil?
I won't go that far. I'm not going to spoil it. But I was holding my son while I watched the movie for roughly probably the 145th time in my life. And it's the first time I ever watched the ending of the movie and I'm holding my son and I still cried. Cried more than I normally do at the ending of Field of Dreams, holding my son.
Well, Field of Dreams is a movie that I feel like every sports fan feels the need that they have to watch. So is it sacrilegious to be from Iowa and never have seen the movie Field of Dreams?
I wouldn't say sacrilegious, no. And actually, there are some sports people out there that hate that movie, say that Field of Dreams is a terrible movie. I disagree, vehemently disagree. I will get you the Brian Ferentz audio first. We've got to get Kyle here. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa players were available to the media today, as well as the first 20 minutes of their practice this morning, and one notable absence was Miles Taylor, who was listed as the starting strong safety, despite being seen in a boot as recently as his graduation on Saturday. Imani Hooker is likely to start in his place. Josh Jackson spoke today and says that he has already done some thinking regarding a potential jump to the NFL, and while he says he's 50-50 for now, he also said he's already planning to hold a press conference to announce his decision after the Pinstripe Bowl. Iowa basketball team is going to be hosting Southern Utah tonight. Tip-off's going to be at 8 o'clock. Iowa State football got a pair of commitments last night with the early signing period approaching. Deshane James from Perry, Iowa is a 6'2", three-star receiver according to 24/7 Sports. And North Scott's Zach Peterson was one of the state's hottest recruits late in the process. The 6'5", three-star defensive end also committed last night over offers from Nebraska, Kansas State, and Iowa, among others. UNI linebacker Jared Farley and defensive back Elijah Campbell were each named second-team All-Americans today by Stats. That's actually the fourth outlet to recognize both of them, joining College Sports Madness, Phil Steele, and the AP. We've got high school basketball tonight right now over on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We've got the first half of a girl-boy doubleheader between the Saints and Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Once our show's over, we're also going to have the boys' game right here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as the boys from Solon hosting West Delaware on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Now, going back to an earlier discussion on the program about how I would be a terrible salesperson and I wouldn't be able to make a living at doing it, 3530 says, I agree with Alex. I have an urge to watch Gremlins now. CTB, you are a good salesman. That is very similar to the scene in Tommy Boy when he's trying to convince Helen, he being Chris Farley, who died 20 years ago yesterday, is trying to convince Helen he wants some chicken wings, and she says, no, Fryer has been turned off. And he goes on this big, long story, and at the end, she says, you know what? You're a sad, pathetic individual, but I'm going to go turn the fryer on and make you some chicken wings. And that is exactly parallel to that. That was a sad, pathetic rambling. And yeah, I sold people on watching Gremlins tonight. 319-366-1600. I'll bring it in. Maybe we can hook up the TV Thursday for our holiday potluck celebration and gift exchange. Maybe we can incorporate a holiday movie into the gift exchange this year, and I'll make it Gremlins.
Yeah, but won't a bowl game be on? Wouldn't you rather watch this exciting bowl season?
See, you would. Most of the people who work here in the building would not, including myself.
Well, actually, there isn't a bowl game during the day that day. So
there's on Thursday. There's
no, just one at night. Temple against Florida in an international in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Only you would know that.
No, I have it in front of me. The only bowl, there is a bowl game on right now. It would be the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
Featuring the newly extended Lane Kiffin.
Correct.
10-year deal.
His team leads Akron 7-0 in the first quarter.
Oh, come on, Maction. You got to show up in your bowl games.
They're 22.5-point underdogs, are the Zips.
Well, that's because it's basically much like the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. This is a home game.
That and Florida Atlantic is way better than Akron.
Yeah, they're really good, and Akron is not so much. Brian Ferentz met the media yesterday. We heard a little bit from Phil Parker earlier today. This, to me, is interesting stuff. When we come back, we're going to hear Brian get asked questions and then attempt to not answer them. Stick around. I promise this will be better than me reading the Wikipedia page for the 1984 feature film Gremlins.
I don't know how that's possible.
Back with more after this.
Great gift ideas come from Iowa Book with one-of-a-kind gifts from your one-of-a-kind bookstore. This season, give a t-shirt or sweatshirt with your own designer photo. Or choose from the dozens of university-approved Hawkeye designs. Iowa Book's custom shirt department operates 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Iowa Book also offers a postal substation and free gift wrap. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
6:37, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer, Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Great couple days of programming ahead for you tomorrow. We're going to talk with Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell, and Thursday we'll catch up in season with Iowa State men's basketball coach Steve Prohm. Also coming up on tomorrow's program, I should mention, Imon Communications sponsors the appearance of Tristan Cockcroft every week, ESPN.com's fantasy football expert, will hopefully help guide you to a fantasy football championship this year. Something that I wish I could say we were playing for here at the KGYM studio, but the trophy and the gift certificate this year will be on the move. I feel as if I let my former co-host down and my current co-host.
No.
By not setting the winning lineups.
You set a lineup, which is more than I can say about myself last week when I was in the consolation playoffs.
And did you forget?
Yeah.
Did you
is that acceptable?
Did you still win?
I did.
Even though you didn't set the lineup?
Yes.
You forgot to set your lineup and
scored about 170 points. Best output of the year.
I don't have the final score in front of me, but let's just say we went down in flames last night. 319-366-1600.
And so what are we going to talk about with Tristan tomorrow?
Well, we're going to give Tristan the listener questions from people who aren't tremendous failures at life at fantasy football.
Yeah.
Don't let it ruin your entire holiday season that your football team, your fantasy football team, didn't get into the championship
round.
Trust
me, it won't.
Oh, I was talking to you. I was talking to the listeners out there, because I'm sure some of them out there are fantasy football guy. Many of us know fantasy football guy. Some of us used to work with fantasy football guy. He would have let this affect his Christmas, his New Year's. It wouldn't have, I'm not talking about anybody specific.
Well, no.
I want to be very clear about that.
That if you don't know fantasy football guy, you're fantasy football guy?
Yes. If you look around your fantasy football league and you don't know who fantasy football guy is, there's a good chance that you are. Speaking of fantasy football, there were some interesting questions yesterday at the Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker media availability. And Brian Ferentz, I don't remember him having such good footwork when he was a player at Iowa, but he gets out his Danny Kaye shoes and tap dances around quite a few Scott Dochterman questions from you. This is just a good example yesterday. Here is Scott Dochterman from thelandof10.com asking Brian a question. And in the words of Kyle, our producer, Brian just dances around.
Against Wisconsin there, you were on first down, I think you ran for 3.5 yards per carry, which against Wisconsin is probably two more than most teams.
Sure, we'll take that against anybody.
But then, you know, second down, you threw a lot, mm-hmm. and then it was incomplete almost every time. And
sure.
Then it was third and seven. in hindsight, is it maybe overthinking the throw on second down, or is it just the way you wanted to pick
I think
up
it's just the way the game went, but you like to have balance. We track all those things, and you go into certain games, and maybe you want to throw the ball 70% of the time on first down and run it 30%, or maybe you want to run it 40%, 60%. You try to track all those things, and you just want to make sure that the predictability and the percentages are not telling people things. But what you have to balance that with is sometimes the feel of how a game's going. And sometimes you get totally off the rails based on what you thought going in because something's going really well. Hey, if you go in there and all of a sudden you're running the ball extremely well and there's nothing they can do to answer that, you don't want to get too far away from that. Kind of like the Nebraska game. We didn't get real creative with the play call. And once we figured out kind of where we wanted to live in that game, we just tried to go and go with some tempo and go as fast as we can versus a game like the Wisconsin game where you're searching a little bit, and you want to move the ball the best you can. And you end up throwing a little bit. But, yeah, if you're asking me in retrospect, sure. Shoot, I wish we would have run the ball every play in that game because we didn't throw it very well.
Okay, there was a lot said there. How much of it pertained to what Scott asked about?
About 10, 15%.
Okay.
Because he used a lot of percentage figures there.
When in doubt...
Too many numbers being thrown
when in
my
doubt,
direction.
Just stand at the podium and throw some numbers out there.
65%.
It works 100% of the time. Here, and I'm reading the sheet that I have been given by Kyle. This is a question about what you can do when you're struggling. Somehow starts talking about the Patriots-Steelers game. I've got to hear this one.
That's my job is to search. Yeah. I think it's a good assumption.
But you're in the press box or on plays. You're, there's going to be no magic page of the book that blows in. You're just trying to find something.
Sure.
What is that for
you? I think you just nailed it. There's no magic page in the playbook that's going to blow in. It is what it is at that point. And I think that's the most difficult part. And I think that's the hard part for the team sometimes, too. And, hopefully with maturity and experience, you can weather some of those things better because that's part of playing football. The nice thing about this time of year is you get to watch other games, right? So you're watching the game yesterday and it's already been dubbed the game of the year, even though there's 2 weeks left in the season, and then they'll actually start playing important games. But if you watch that game, one offense comes to life in the fourth quarter. Well, that offense didn't do much for 3.5 quarters, but when it counted, they were pretty good. And you look at who makes up, well, they have a lot of experienced players. They got a lot of guys that have been there before and understand that sometimes you just have to keep playing. And that's how games work. And football is a crazy game. It's like the end of that game, right? They go from winning the game to 2 plays later, they throw an interception and lose the game. And that's how fast things happen in the game. And the hard part is, as a coach, you've been around a long time. You understand that things can go that way. We've seen the momentum swings that way this year. And you will every year. It's part of playing. But I think for younger players, sometimes things seem a lot more final, or maybe a mountain seems a lot higher trying to climb it than what it is in reality. So what I'm hopeful is we gain experience with some of our crew. Some of those things, it's not going to go away. We're going to play in more games where nothing's working. But it's how you handle those things. It's how you push through those things. I think that really end up defining as the offense. When you go out there and you rack up 550 yards because nothing goes wrong, I don't think you learn much about who you are. But when things get a little bit tough and you're able to push through, and we did that at Iowa State, we didn't do that in Madison. You talk about two polar opposites. That's what you saw. So what you have to do is try to balance that out so that you can remain competitive at all times in all games.
That was Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz yesterday. Doing a lot of talking to answer Mark Morehouse, the Cedar Rapids Gazette's question, and no magic page is going to blow in, and then Patriots, Steelers. And I think at this point, when you hear Brian talk, you just understand the frustration that this is not how year number one was supposed to go for him as the team's offensive coordinator. And his future is predicated on how well he does in this job. He's either going to be Iowa's next head football coach. I mean, let's be honest about the situation here. This is either Iowa's next head football coach or he's looking for a job elsewhere in a couple years. I mean, that's one of the two outcomes for him, right?
Yes.
So I think this has been an incredibly frustrating season for him. And you look at, you know, the 66 yards, if you want to make a parallel to a Christmas story, and the 66 yards against Wisconsin is one of the three ghosts that is coming to visit Brian Ferentz this Christmas. The ghost of the game where there was no offense. And I think that's one of the games people are going to remember the most about this season, one of the more frustrating games. Now, granted, Wisconsin was a really good football team this year, and they won the West. And Brian said yesterday, look, in the West, we're all chasing Wisconsin. He acknowledged it yesterday. But there were no answers in that game, even in hindsight. And it was just one example of some systematic struggles all year long, with a couple notable exceptions. The Iowa State game in September, when they put up 44 points in double overtime and won. And at that point, everybody was looking at Iowa going, man, this team could be for real this year. Look at that. Iowa State's good. And Iowa went on the road and beat them. Wow. And then things quickly went downhill from there. But the Ohio State game, nobody puts 50 on Ohio State. Iowa did. And then the Nebraska game, the final week of the season. And granted, everybody knew Mike Riley was going to get the axe, and Nebraska was nowhere near as talented as Iowa State or Ohio State. Nobody hangs 50 on Nebraska at Memorial Stadium. Iowa did. It's almost maddening when you sit, and we're not directly connected to the program. This is a guy whose entire livelihood comes from being the offensive coordinator for that football team.
I think it was somewhat unrealistic to expect a huge jump from the offense in certain regards. The quarterback and the wide receiver positions were two spots where I think there were big question marks coming into the season. The quarterback position, I thought for the most part, exceeded expectations. I thought Nate Stanley had a good first season as a starting quarterback. The wide receiver position was right at expectations or a little bit below. Not much was expected out of that group. I think the real disappointment comes from the two position groups that were expected to carry this offense. And that would be the running backs and the offensive line. And I'm not pointing the finger at either of them, but the running game was not even close to what they expected it to be this season. They expected to build that offense around the running game. And, of course, they want to be balanced. Of course, they wanted to build in some kind of passing game once Nate Stanley got more confidence in himself and in his receivers. And for the most part, they were able to do that, but with no complement of the running game. Many times, I think a lot of people are pointing it out on the text line, Michigan State, Northwestern, even Minnesota and Purdue, and of course the Wisconsin game, when the running game didn't work, the offense didn't work. So I think that's probably the frustrating part for Brian Ferentz. He came into this season with the plan of building the offense around what Iowa tends to like to do. You bring back an all Big Ten performer at running back. You bring back all of your offensive linemen, albeit they lost their two tackles at the beginning of the season. They still had three really experienced interior offensive linemen remaining, and they weren't able to get things done on the ground.
Do you want the good news or the bad news about being eliminated from the fantasy football championship game?
Always the bad news first.
No. The good news is...
You see, you're always like, do you want the good news or the bad news first? And I always say the bad news. And you're like, no. We're going to go with the good news first.
The good news is we would have beaten the other two teams that were in the playoffs.
And the bad news is we didn't beat the team that we played.
We played a team that... How do I put this to you? We were dead in the water last night. Certainly looked like it. We had about a 3-point lead going into last night, and Ryan, who's the manager of Saved by the Bell, had Mohamed Sanu of the Falcons, whose original point projection was 13.2 points. What Mohamed Sanu absolutely could not do was score more than about 3.5 points last night. Mohamed Sanu finished the game with 4.6 points, and we were eliminated from getting back to the championship game for the second year in a row by 1.44 points. 1.44 points.
It would have been a lot easier to take if you would have told me the bad news first.
We would have, yeah. Now I'm looking, I'm trying to cobble together some things here. We started about as good of a lineup as we could, with the exception of, I thought Devin Funchess was going to have a good game against Green Bay, and he and Jordy Nelson sort of combined to sink us. If we had started anybody other than James White in our flex position, we were on to the championship. So Ryan, congratulations. You have a 50% shot, probably better than that. I haven't seen the projections for the championship matchup. But Ryan will be taking on Ron Mexico in the championship. No, that's not Michael Vick. It's Tom, who's managing Team Ron Mexico in the championship. Somebody's going to take home a $200 gift certificate to the NFL shop online, as well as the coveted, for a 1 year, we do get the trophy back, right? For 1 year, the fantasy football trophy. And your name will be engraved on it for future winners to see and enjoy. 319-366-1600. We need to step aside and take a quick break. 1.44 points. That's not close enough to even hang your hat on a stat correction. It's just outside of a stat correction. It's over. We lost fair and square. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you when we return after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
All right, let's bring it home with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and here's Kyle.
The Iowa players were available to the media today, as well as the first 20 minutes of their practice this morning, and one notable absence was Miles Taylor, who was listed as the starting strong safety despite being seen in a boot as recently as his graduation on Saturday. Imani Hooker is likely to start in his place, which could be confirmed tomorrow. Josh Jackson spoke today and says that he's already done some thinking regarding a potential jump to the NFL, and while he says he's 50-50 for right now, he also said he's already planning to hold a press conference to announce a decision after the Pinstripe Bowl. In case you need something to do, you've still got about an hour. Iowa basketball is going to be hosting Southern Utah tonight. Tip-off's going to be at 8 o'clock. Iowa State football got a pair of commitments last night with the early signing period approaching. Deshane James from Perry, Iowa is a 6'2", three-star receiver, according to 24/7 Sports. And North Scott's Zach Peterson was one of the state's hottest recruits late in the process. The 6'5", three-star defensive end also committed last night over offers from Nebraska, Kansas State, and Iowa, among others. UNI linebacker Jared Farley and defensive back Elijah Campbell were each named second-team All-Americans today by Stats, and that's actually the fourth outlet to recognize both of them, joining College Sports Madness, Phil Steele, and the AP. We've got a high school basketball tonight. Right now, over on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, we've got the first half of a girl-boy doubleheader between the Saints and Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Once our show's over, we're also going to carry the boys' game right there, right here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as the boys from Solon hosting West Delaware on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
That's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the program. And as we mentioned, a couple big shows coming up for you, including tomorrow. We'll hear from the outlaw himself, the consensus All-American, Josie Jewell, who says, yes, the beard will be on when he sits for the painting that will hang in the Iowa football complex along with Josh Jackson. And then on Thursday, Iowa State fans, make sure you're tuning in. We'll have Cyclones men's basketball coach Steve Prohm with us. Fantasy football questions answered by Tristan Cockcroft tomorrow. The 6 o'clock showdown, and a whole lot more. Great program today. If you missed anything, Tom Kakert, Jesse Rogers, me spoiling Gremlins. Podcast available for you at kgymradio.com. And don't forget, tomorrow, another chance to take home a $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa. Thanks for listening, and hope you're back here with us tomorrow.